Hello, everyone, and welcome to Coffee with Innovate Finance, our podcast series where we speak to industry leaders on financial innovation and fintech. Our podcasts are available on Spotify, Apple Music, and Google Podcasts. I'm Veronica Glab, Head of Engagement at Innovate Finance, and today I am delighted to be joined by Klaus Christensen, CEO at Know Your Customer. Know Your Customer provides next-generation digital onboarding solutions to organizations around the world. And Klaus, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Veronica, for having me.
All right. Now, Klaus, can you tell us a little bit more about your role as CEO at Know Your Customer?
Well, the role is what it is everywhere. It is leading a team. It's inspiring action and keeping everything together. And last but not least, not to run out of funds while doing it. It has been quite an interesting journey over the past 7 years where I would say, I always joke, I have not led a company for 7 years. I have led seven completely different companies over time, because that's what happens invariably with a startup. Every single year, you have a different challenge and something else happens. And that's what keeps it interesting.
Oh, well, I think we're going to be able to dig into some of that. I really like the way that you phrased it. So why don't we start with an easy question? Can you tell us about Know Your Customer's vision and mission?
Absolutely. On the highest level, our mission, our vision is that of a world where financial crime, terrorism, and worse is kept at bay by an intelligent use of automation and technological innovation. You see, I'm the technical co-founder, and as such, I retain the maybe naive core belief that the power of technology can help us solve a lot of human problems. In our specific area, I also believe in the idea that to follow the money and excluding bad money from taking part in legitimate society is a powerful weapon and really a moral imperative. In practical terms, it means helping teams at our clients' firms build highly effective and cost-efficient solutions to protect their business and the overall financial system against financial crime, especially during the crucial phase of onboarding and when dealing with corporate clients.
Dig into a little bit of how you do that specifically. And can you talk us through what some of your core products and services are that help you to reach that mission?
Yes. Know Your Customer, we are essentially a RegTech vendor. We specialized in corporate onboarding, KYB or business KYC, and the automation of thereof. We provide a modular compliance solution that combines the widest coverage of real-time connections to company registries, data extraction from company filing documents, and AML or anti-money laundering name screening, all within a highly intuitive digital workspace. We built this so that our clients can combine the modules that we give them in the solution to an effective anti-money laundering solution. Maybe we go a little bit over a little bit deeper on a couple of those. The real-time company registry connection is one of the most distinguishing factors that we built into our solution. From the very beginning, when we started Know Your Customer, we started with the idea that to have to do onboarding right under anti-money laundering regulations, you need to base the whole system on really tangible and the best possible information and data that you can get. Sure. And we saw that data and documents started to be available from company registries. And we immediately latched onto that specific area and built a system that is without par that connects in real time. That, like, really to point out the big difference here to anything else on the market is that usually what you have are company information databases. And what we build is a real-time access to the government source of truth, the golden source of truth about companies, the company registries.
Okay. And do you have any particular success stories or case studies where you've been able to leverage those products and really help a company out?
By now, 7 years in, we do. obviously, we wouldn't have stuck around this time without some success stories. The company really changed over time, as I said many times. And in the beginning, we had our first successes in 2017, that time frame, with smaller clients. We helped to really transform the way they onboard their customers. And this transformation is when a company has manual processes and has many touch points with their newly onboarded customers and can combine all that in a digital tool to make it one smooth digital onboarding journey that includes anti-money laundering measures, basically invisible. So these were the first ones. Later on in our development and recently, we went on to service much, much larger customers, tier one banks, for example. And those are both terrifyingly complex and very, very rewarding servicing and working with. That's where we're currently. Maybe if I point out a few things that as successes, I can't really talk about individual customers. All of them love to be under NDA and are very secretive of what they're doing. So we can't talk about those.
But if you can tell us in coded language that you've got any exciting stories, I think that's what the audience is here for.
Well, we do have the two out of the top five banks in Hong Kong work with us, and we have one out of the top three global credit card providers working with us. So these are really interesting things. We also just on a level that's very easy to say, we received a good few awards for the technologies, especially in the past few weeks. There were a good few ones. We won the Global FinTech Award by MAS, the Monetary Authority of Singapore. And that was one of the biggest ones that we've ever had. It's even has a monetary reward attached to it, but it's significant, really fun one. In the UK, we can talk about one customer we recently announced, Lambert Smith Hampton. I love talking about them because they're special. They're not a bank. They're actually in the real estate sector. And that shows you how broad the need for anti-money laundering solution is by now. Regulations have stretched a lot over the past few years and have included ever more sectors. And Lambert Smith Hampton, or the property sector, is one very, very interesting one. From a product standpoint, you could look at our development obviously has come a long way since we only started in 2015. It took us about 2 years to get to the point where we could sell the product. But recently, we have added so much that we are now the undisputed global leader in company registry connections. We just connected 50 states of the United States to the system and bringing it all up to 126 countries now or jurisdictions, the definitely largest in the industry. So that's good
success. So you're at a pretty successful point in your journey to scale now. How are the challenges that you're facing now as a business different from the challenges that you were facing back in 2015?
Good question. I would say we started out with a small set of problems that we needed to solve. And they were mostly building the team and mm-hmm. building the technology. So that's easy enough to think about, but complex enough to start out with. The technology was more complex than we imagined initially, which is probably the reason why startups exist in the first place. I think it's a story you'll hear a lot from startup founders. They are very optimistic people. We are, all of us. And we tend to think that we can overcome any of the challenges. And we did, obviously. We wouldn't be here now and talking about it if we weren't. But that was one of the first things. Then in the second phase, it was scaling the company out between Europe and Asia at the same time. that indeed was quite a challenge. It was something completely new for me. I did make the jump, moved from Europe over to Hong Kong in 2018 and lived in Hong Kong. 2018, 19, and beginning of 2020, did a lot of trips there to Singapore, and we established the company in both Europe and Asia at the same time. Now, we had some help there. We had one decision very early on that helped us. That was setting the company up remotely. So from the very beginning, we set KYC up as a remote organization with not a single office, but distributed work from the beginning. We were indeed paid users of Zoom that we're currently using right now since 2016, and Slack as well. Very early users, not March 2020, when all of us started using it heavily. That tells you something. So that was the second phase of challenges. The third phase is what we have now, and that is scaling. The speed of change that we've experienced just now with onboarding these large tier one clients and their ideas about how these partnerships should work, and how relationships between a 200-year-old bank and a 7-year-old startup work, the cultural differences and so on, mean that we as a management team have to scale ourselves up over a very short period of time. We need to learn a lot of new things. We need to hire more people, and we need to get tasks off our plates to the next level in the company, which has a ripple effect throughout. It's the challenge of scaling in this environment. That is what we're currently facing.
Yeah. So with partnerships in mind, actually, how do you think that partnerships and collaborations between RegTech and FinTech providers can actually foster innovation across the industry, particularly as you end up working with quite a lot of those tier one banks that you just mentioned?
Yeah. Well, RegTech and FinTech, if I define FinTech first as challenger banks, virtual banks, and innovative product providers there in the space, then they are indeed a match made in heaven. In fact, I would go as far as challenger banks or fintechs. Secret sauce is the use of RegTech. It's not something I have come up with. I have to cite Brian Tang of the Hong Kong University, and also very active person in RegTech. Runs the RegTech part of the FinTech Association of Hong Kong. Brian, thanks very much for that secret sauce of FinTech.
Credit where credit is due, right?
Absolutely, I have to say that. But really, Brian has pointed out a deep relationship there. Without the RegTech solutions, FinTechs wouldn't be possible. FinTechs are only that client-centric and easy to onboard and easy to work with because they have done in technology what previously was manual and was cumbersome. And that is exactly how this relationship works best. The RegTech providers have to come up with the tech. That's our job, and we do. And the FinTech providers are great in pushing the use and also financing it. Of course, the financial support is needed to foster this innovation and start it. They are the early adopters that the tier one banks aren't. The tier one banks are now jumping on the same train here. Obviously, it's a good idea. They saw it working and they don't want to be left behind, and that's all good, but they're not the first mover. So that's another contribution from the fintechs.
Yeah, I'm actually so glad that you said that, because, you know, the financial services industry has known for generations that finance and insurance and real estate have had an interdependent relationship for, again, as I said, generations now. And now that we enter an age of digital innovation, a similar type of collaboration seems to be developing between fintech, regtech, insurtech, and proptech. But I think the way that you've actually worded it is so eloquent and really illustrates that point of where digital industries are going. Do you actually have any examples, though, that you can share of that fintech-regtech collaboration?
We work with the Aspire in Singapore, for example. Aspire is a challenger bank and payment company, very innovative. They started in Singapore. They had their first compliance team figure things out for Singapore, but then they faced a challenge. And that challenge was they wanted to grow outside in the international realm in Southeast Asia first. And I think I'm sure they will go further than that. But this challenge is, do you even know what kind of documents, what kind of information you need if you're sitting in Singapore from a mainland Chinese partnership or from an Australian limited company or a Vietnamese company entity? Can you translate the documents and can you understand what's in there? And those challenges are repeated with every new market that you want to go into. And that is something where RegTech can really help, because in our solution, for example, we did that work, that initial work in connecting these different company registries, in compiling those different company types, officer types. So is there a director or a supervisor or a corporate secretary? What do the terms in the local language mean translated into English? And we did all that work once for each jurisdiction. Now, for a company like Aspire, that means they can just connect to one source and scale to whatever country they want in the system. That is incredibly useful for them. But there's other partnerships as well. Just think of other parts of the solutions. We work, for example, with Hawk AI, a company that does transaction monitoring. And transaction monitoring is related to onboarding, but only related. We're not the same, obviously. But to be able to offer a comprehensive solution to any financial institutions or payment or fintech out there, that's how we do partnerships.
All right, very cool. And there is actually one more question that I would like to ask. You know, looking at the context of sort of where fintech is and where RegTech is in 2022, one of the key challenges that the RegTech and fintech sectors are facing now are their role in the emerging cost of living crisis. Can you share any initiatives that you know your customers working on that are actually helping to address this, or where RegTech plays a broader role?
The cost of living is one thing where we probably can't do much. We can help you with the cost of onboarding, but that is actually a very important component, more important than it's obvious at first blush.
Okay, go ahead.
The traditional financial institutions that do this function manual and put a lot of cost and effort on onboarding new companies have one big challenge. It's actually not profitable to work with SMEs and new startups at all. The cost of onboarding overcomes the cost of possible cost or profit from any such new financial customer for many years. And if you think about it on a global society context, that means there will be resistance, and there is indeed resistance to onboarding new, smaller and startup clients. And that translates into a challenge for all of society. If we are able, by the use of technology, to lower the barriers of entry here, we also level the playing field. We give smaller, newer entrants the same access to the financial system and the tools they need to grow in terms of loans, in terms of access to funding, and access to easy and convenient payment methods that the larger players already had. And that is definitely good for society on a whole. And of course, for the entrepreneurs that we support in connecting to the financial system.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, you know, all you have to do is open a newspaper in the UK to see that SMEs are the backbone of the economy here, that SMEs are the backbone of fintech. So I think it's no secret there that it really levels that playing field for different types of businesses to succeed.
Yeah.
And just as one final question, as we do come up on time, I want to do a little bit of future gazing here. Can you tell us about any company announcements or any exciting projects that are in the works for Know Your Customer going into the new year?
Well, in a nutshell, we want to build on the incredible traction that we just had in the past few months. We have actually, we sat together in Hong Kong with the whole management team 2 weeks ago. And I'm just now back in Ireland right now, fresh from Singapore, where I was in between. We sat together and we mapped out 2023. And it turned out that it's actually not easy at this point to map out comprehensively a year with so much, where we know so much change is happening. So we're looking at a doubling of our revenue, where a lot of that coming revenue in 2023 is already contracted. And a lot of growth in the company. There's not a single specific thing that I would like to turn out, but it's just for KYC, this will be a year where we roll out a lot of new stuff, and we'll go into some new markets, but I don't really want to talk about that now. Let's map that out more closely.
All right, Klaus, well, you are keeping me and the rest of the audience in suspense, but we will absolutely keep an eye out for exciting headlines from you guys in 2023. In any case, Klaus, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. And to the rest of our audience, thank you for tuning in. Please keep an eye out for upcoming episodes of Coffee with Innovate Finance. All of our previous episodes are available on our website, so please take a look at our catalog for many more insights on fintech and financial innovation. Once again, thank you to our guest today, Klaus Christensen, CEO at Know Your Customer. And thank you all at home for listening. Join us next time for Coffee with Innovate Finance. Bye for now.